Hello and welcome to the happy hour right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndre Cartwright, and I am delighted that you've decided to join us today. Now, for those of you who are coming back, welcome. To those who are just joining us, I want to let you know a little bit about what is a happy hour. So the happy hour is 1 hour of dedicated programming to highlighting individuals and groups all around our country, as well as Bahamians abroad, that are making a positive impact on our community. We do not discriminate on your age nor where you are, because technology means that I can reach you no matter where you may be. We've had folks all the way in Canada and across the world in the UK that have been on this show just to talk to us a little bit more about what they have been doing. And so, if you or an organization or individual that you know, no matter your age, you can be young, old, young at heart, but once it's you're making a positive impact on our community, let us know. We are surrounded by so much bad things happening, but there's so much good going on. And so this show is solely dedicated to talking about the goodness. That's why we call it the happy hour. Now, before we jump in, we have one of the heavy this person who we're going to talk to today, I know personally, and he has been doing so much work in advocacy for this particular area. And I'm delighted to have him on today. And I'm not going to get into his background because I want him to tell you all about that. But before we jump into introducing our guests and what we're going to be talking about, I want to go into what we usually do at the beginning of the show, which is a projection of what to expect, events that are upcoming that you may wish to support. So one of those things is actually what we're going to be talking about today, and that is the Summer Fund Fest. So this is by Abilities Unlimited. This is their first annual event of this kind. It is happening on Saturday, August the 9th, and that's going to be including things like food, drinks, music, kitty's corner, face painting, bouncing castle, water slides. It's going to be a cookout. Y'all know I like my tummy, so I need to go out there to get some food. And so this is a family event to raise funds for individuals with disabilities in the community. For more information, you can call 820-8200. So that's happening next Saturday, the 9th of August. Now, we all know there's a lot of things going on in August, so we just want to give a pre-shout out to the new students starting over there at the University of the Bahamas. So they will be beginning their orientation on Monday, the 11th of August. It's a full week of activities. So if you see the university bright with blue, please congratulate the new students there. And let's pray for all of the returning students so that they can continue their good work in their educational pursuits. Wonderful. So just jumping ahead, and I know that I gave a lot of this last week, but we also wanted folks to keep in mind of activities that are going to be happening later on in the years in the year, including Alzheimer's Awareness. The Alzheimer's Awareness Association Bahamas, they're going to be having a slate of activities in September. So we want you to make sure, and yes, guys, I know it's only the beginning of August, but I want y'all to mark your calendars. We want to support these entities that are trying to assist a particular part of our society. And so we want to give them the support they need. So please check out the Alzheimer's Awareness Association. They're going to be having a number of activities in September. Also happening in September, and yes, this is a long ways, but is at the end. I just want y'all to know I want to give a personal shout out to the Cancer Society of the Bahamas, the Long Island branch, because they're going to be having their annual ball. Hands for Hunger is also having Paradise Plates on September 27th. So we have more than enough time to try and see if we can attend those things, support them, reach out, show them some love. And if you know of any activities happening, please reach out to me. We also like to put these things on our social media so that we can let the world know, that is our world on social media, just so that we can get some more support out there. All right, so that's enough from me. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today on the show, we have none other, and I want to say that this fella is an extraordinaire in his field. We have Kendrick Roll joining us today. Now, Kendrick has many hats, but today he is wearing one with Abilities Unlimited. Now, y'all heard my voice for a long time just now, so I'm going to be quiet right now. And I want Kendrick to tell us a little bit more about who he is and what is Abilities Unlimited.
Good morning, Ms. Cartwright, and good morning, dear listening audience. Trust you all are doing well today.
We're good. How are you?
Now, you just want my professional information, or you want a little more background information before I kick in, enter it?
We want to learn all about you.
Nah, we ain't have enough time for that.
Well, time flies when you're having fun. So, how about you give us a little bit of your professional background, which is, of course, influenced by your personal realities as well?
Well, let's just say that I'm a graduate of Prince William High School. I'm a beloved Aries. Yes, I celebrate in April each year on my birthday. And I grew up a regular child and a normal adult. And then I had an accident, a violent accident that rendered me visually impaired and eventually blind. And so this began my journey into disability advocacy. And since being in the field of disability advocacy, I am the Special Projects Officer in the Department of Social Services, the Disability Affairs Division. I am the Executive Chairman and Director of the Bahamas Coalition of Advocates for Disability Awareness and Services. I am the founder of the Disability Empowerment Outreach Group and the Chosen Ones Junkanoo Group for all persons with disabilities. I have just recently served as the Deputy Chairman of the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities, a past president of the Bahamas Alliance for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and a board of director for Abilities Unlimited. So I am surrounded by matters that is related to empowering the lives of persons with disabilities here in the country.
Man, you sound like you do it all. Is there enough time in a day?
Nope. But I
Ladies,
do find time for other things.
well, balance is key. Balance is key. Now, what you didn't mention, and I really just wanted to throw this in there too. Ladies and gentlemen, Kendrick not only does his advocacy work here at home, he does it on the international stage as well. That's actually where I met him. I met Kendrick at the United Nations, and he's been there several times where he was present to talk about disabilities and how they impact our Bahamians. And he did a fantastic job.
Yes, I have done that. And since we want to go there, most recently, I attended the Global Disability Summit in Berlin, Germany. And that was actually in Germany. That was actually in April of this year, where I also presented and we connected with some international partners who we're going to be doing some awesome things with the community of persons with disabilities, more specifically, those with mobility issues. And with vision issues, we have some stuff coming up real soon. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but some approvals have been granted, some things are in place, and you're going to be seeing more of the benefits we have reaped for the government allowing us to attend such a massive summit. Also, I could say this much, that coming out of that summit, some commitments were made by ourselves because our Minister of Social Services were there. And the commitments from us signing on to that Berlin Jordan Convention, one of the things was ensuring that 16% of all capital investments funds that be donated for inclusiveness for the community of persons with disabilities. And between April and June, that was immediately reflected. And upon the release of the new 25-26 national budget, places like Abilities Unlimited got a 1,000% increase in their annual subvention. The National Commission for Persons with Disabilities got a 50% increase in their subvention. And there's one other entity receiving a 300% increase in their subvention. So attending those international treaties and summits really paying off for the community of persons with disabilities.
No, that is incredible. And we thank you and celebrate you for your work. Mike, oh goodness, it's just so much to be done. Now, you named off quite a few organizations that you work with. on a daily basis. I just for our listening audience, because I want us all to be aware, more appreciative that, you know, this could happen to this is everybody. This is anybody. This is no matter your age, your location, that we have persons with disabilities among us, and we
Yes,
should help them.
persons with disabilities are a part of every society. And the reality is, we are 16% of every nation. So there are numbers in high amounts right here within our own country. And, you know, but the trouble is, while we are doing our part, we have seen a decent increase in the numbers we have registered. Over the past 3 years, our registration numbers have changed from about 300 to over 2,500 now. We still have not really touched even the 10% yet of the amount of persons with disabilities are in the country. So they are everywhere. And like you said, whether it's aging, diseases, accidents, violence, natural disaster, you could end up with a disability in a heartbeat. And so we always want to encourage people to do their part to help create this inclusive environment, which we are striving to create for the to improve quality of life for persons with disabilities.
Listen, I could only imagine. It's literally just the breadth of it is incredible, because there are so many disabilities that we sometimes may not see, and I think that's actually important for us to draw attention to, that some disabilities you may not be able to see immediately.
No.
And then I think we I always find this program, and I want to give them a shout out because they're present in several countries. I was just traveling recently, and I saw it in action, the Sunflower Land Yard, the program, Sunflower Program, where you wear the lanyard with the sunflowers, and
Yes,
people
that
know
is
it.
our around with airports, and it's in over 160 countries around the world, the Sunflower Lanyard Program. And we here in the Bahamas, we launched it just over 3 years ago through a partnership with the Nassau Airport Development Company. So yeah, and so we are proud to be a part of that program.
It was incredible. I saw it, I think, in a local theater, and I was like, this is beautiful, because we want to give access and opportunity, and we want to facilitate that however we can. So next time y'all are in an airport, look out for the sunflower lanyards. Look at the info posters that they have around, and learn a little bit more about the program. And I think you can also contribute to the program as well. So I don't want to, because we have so much to talk about, and Kendrick, you know me, and you could be here all day about it. But I also know that there's something very exciting that's going to be happening next Saturday, and I don't want to forget that we actually you all just did a recent article. So before I jump to that, you could tell that I want to talk about so much. I'm so sorry. There was actually an article inside one of the local newspapers recently, and it was titled, "Is Your Business Following Rules on Hiring Disabled Staff?" Now, I know that we don't like saying disabled before the person. So staff with disabilities is how I would amend that particular title. But I believe that, you know, Kendrick, what do did you have a hand in writing that, or the highlights of it?
Not the article in particularly, but one of the things we were doing as we closed our term for the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities is when we do our inspections to ensure that their building is accessible with ramps, the bathroom facilities and other amenities for persons with disabilities. We also go in and inquire from these businesses and large corporations, how many persons with disabilities do you have employed, to ensure that they are compliant with the law. Because the law states that if you have 100 employees, you should have one person with disability employed. And we also feel that that is a very small number, considering one, the amount of persons with disabilities in the country, and two, the amount of persons with disabilities who are either unemployed or underemployed. So we're working to amend that number to be able to provide more opportunity for employment for persons with disabilities. So that is one of the things we were working on. And I think it may have led to the creation of that article.
Perfect. That is highly visible inside the article, it leads off actually saying that companies with over 100 employees are legally required to hire at least one differently abled person under the Bahamas Disability Act, a rule still largely ignored, according to labor officials. We have come so far, and yet so much more we have to do. But no, I think articles like that help to educate ourselves about what's going on and what is the right thing to do, and informing the public so that we could make sure hold people accountable. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you know your entity has 100 persons and you don't see someone with disabilities, or you haven't been told, because again, sometimes you can't see a disability,
Well,
then.
see, that is where the challenge comes, because the definition for disability is so wide.
Right.
They have an argument, whereas they could just have someone who have back issues, or just that I have someone employed who have diabetes, and we cannot challenge that, you know? And so therefore, what we are trying to do now is also narrow down the definition of persons with disabilities to ensure that those who are mainstream are not overlooked through technicalities. So there's a lot being done, and there's a lot more to be done. But we are a work in progress, and one day we'll get it right.
One day, and with persons like you working at it, I'm sure it'll help. And we're always happy to host you all on the happy hour to bring more attention to this. And speaking about getting the word out there, it leads us into, well, why I have you on today. Happening next week, Saturday,
It's the
ability.
first annual Summer Fund Fest. And I think if you weren't reading, people just hearing it, they think we're saying Fund Fest. No, we're saying Fund, FUND. It's funds for the Abilities Unlimited. So it's the Fund Fest on August the 9th on Dolphin Drive at Abilities Unlimited Grounds.
I think that's very important for you to highlight that, because you want to make sure I know that persons to know that it's a fundraiser. And I think, what was it they're saying? I'm reading the caption online. As we draw closer to our first annual Summer Fund Fest, we want to encourage you to bring your child's niece, nephew, cousins out in their summer attire to enjoy the bouncing castle and the water slides. That sounds very fun.
Yes. August is usually the height of our summertime. So when you have an event that is not near the seaside, you must create a cool, wet environment for children and children at heart to enjoy. And so when planning this event, we made sure that we have such things available that would encourage people to come our way, rather than the free beach, Come away, we have the wet slides, the water this, the water that. You could get wet and have fun right there at Fun Fest.
Right now, speaking about it being a fund fest and it's a fundraiser, why is Abilities Unlimited raising funds?
Okay, well, Abilities Unlimited has been around for about 51 years, opening their doors in December 1974. And what has happened is the building has been deteriorated, and we need to repair that building, as well as we need to purchase more equipment and other tools, because what we do there is we provide an environment for persons with disabilities to become employed or to become entrepreneurs. We teach them skills for dealing with repairing furniture, ceramics, creating brooms and other stuff like that. So we have to purchase materials in order for them to be able to be creative and make things, as well as we teaching persons with disabilities how to be employable. And this is a mammoth task, and it is a costly undertaking. And so therefore we have to raise funds. We are thankful to the government for the massive increase in the subvention, but the repairs to the building is near $1 million, if not more. And then just to operate the program on an annual basis is very costly. And we don't want to turn away any person with disability who has that ambition, who has that drive, and who has that determination to want to come out and receive the skills and opportunity that we are providing for them. And like I said, in order to to be able to do that, we need funding. And this is the reason we are having this first annual fund fest, and we're looking to do it along with other fundraising initiatives throughout the year. But this is going to be the signature event, and we're going to be doing it in an effort to be able to garner some funding and support for us to be able to host these programs and initiatives that will empower the lives of persons with disabilities.
Oh, that is so powerful, Kendrick. And what you all are doing at the property, providing these opportunities for folks with disabilities to learn a trade, to have something to do, to learn to do these things. It's incredible. I see a flyer up on your site, on your Facebook page. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're on Facebook, please follow them. Abilities Unlimited. I just want to read this out. Jewelry making, soap making, candle making, sewing for beginners, ceramics, basic electronics, lamp making, clock making, plumbing, carpentry, furniture painting, caning and working with wicker fabric repairs, upholstery, reading and writing, introduction to computers, teaching driving rules and preparing for a learner's permit, manicures and pedicures, barber, cosmetology for hair, hair braiding, bread making, basic shoe repair, gardening. That's a lot.
We want to do it all. We don't want to leave no stone unturned. So whatever a person with disability has an interest in, or whatever we can attract them to have an interest in, and you notice all of those things can be now converted into being able to get some funds for yourself, to be able to have an income so that you can live your life with dignity. You can help to pay your own bills, not just wait on the monthly stipend that comes from the government, but you are able to turn these skills into to an entrepreneurship and raise funds for yourself or make some money for yourself. So, that is the main goal.
Oh, that is definitely commendable. And I'm happy that she got the opportunity to share that on the show, really, because I'm not sure a lot of people were aware that there are opportunities out there like this. I wanted to also highlight that the Fund Fest, you're going to be having vendors out there. And I see a few of them that have been added on the page, including Kenny D's Catering. I see Cakeaholics Cupcakery and the Main Squeeze Company, which I believe that's a they do lemonades and things like that. So you're going to be having all of these great tasty things out there on Saturday, the 9th of August. And this is happening on Dolphin Drive from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So you have all day to get
Yeah.
out there.
Yes, it's the entire day. And also when you get there, you would not only come to have a good time, but you have the opportunity to tour the site, the facilities, and see what it is we have already accomplished and the other things that we intend to do with the site. And then at the same time, we'd also be registering the persons with disabilities because we want to use every opportunity to get them involved. So even if you know a person with disability who probably could benefit from this program, bring them out, have them registered with the National Commission for Disabilities, and also to sign up at Abilities Unlimited to be a part of one of these programs.
I love that. Always making sure that the access and opportunity are present. Because speaking about which, I believe, and I may be, if I say certain things, people will probably tell I used to work with disability affairs when I wore a different hat previously. But I believe that, the register of persons with disabilities may not actually reflect the amount of persons with disabilities we have in the country. Is this still true, or how else are we trying to really register them to get them involved?
Well, personally, programs that I work with, we every opportunity, whether we do drives in the malls, or we have special events, or we attend events, health fairs, public, any community events that we are invited to, we go, we set up, or we know about events, we go, we set up the table, and we encourage them to bring the persons with disabilities. I mentioned earlier that we are nowhere near our amounts, especially in registration. Okay. Our latest census, I'm told, is around 399,000. That was 2022, when I did some research early this morning, to be exact. I noticed online they have posted that we have a population of some 403,000. And using 16% of that means that we should have somewhere around the area of 70,000 persons with disabilities in our country. Our registry today only says 2,500. So this tells me that there's lots of work to be done. And if people understand that registering the persons with disability helps with decision making, it also guides funding, and it provides opportunity not only locally but internationally, they would come on out and register their person so that can help us have a arguing point when we go to the government or when we go internationally looking for support programs and initiatives that would empower their lives. Secondly, persons need to recognize that it is against the law to hide or keep persons with disabilities isolated. And that's why registration is so important, because in cases of natural disasters or any other things, we need to know where these people are and to ensure they are safe or to be able to send help to assist them. And so registration is very important. We always want to encourage registration, no matter where we go, what we're doing. You could be having a summer fun fair yourself. You can invite the commission to be there so that we can have persons with disabilities who may be attending or their family members may be in attendance to know the importance of registering them and getting them a part of our database.
No, that's incredibly important. And you just touched on something that I just want us to explore a little bit more. Speaking about isolating or hiding, just for folks listening in, because we also want to help them to help themselves or to look out for these things. What does it look like if a person is being hidden, isolated? What would I look for, or what are signs that I could tell that this may be happening?
Well, naturally, if you sometimes if you live in a community, word gets out. Just people hanging out will say, well, Miss Susie down the road, she have the boy with the word that we don't like to use. He only stay outside. Nobody has let him out. They don't carry him nowhere. So, just word of mouth is get information out. And then a lot of time people are embarrassed. They don't want to be associated or affiliated with having family who have challenges or who have special needs. But like I say, they need to understand that that is against the law. That is a part of the Persons with Disabilities Equal Act Opportunity of 2014. And excuse me, there is a clause in there that if you hide, isolate persons with disabilities and not have them registered and not bring them to the public to be able to access what is available to them, you could be fined or even sent to do jail time. And so I want to encourage those under the sound of our voices, if you know of someone who is being hidden or isolated, we ask you to come forward to the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities. You can call 397-8600, ask for them to put you on, and you could report them. And we can take action from there.
Okay, that is wonderful, and I'm hoping that we all, because I live on this island, but I also come, I am a family islander at heart and at parts of times of the year. And I remember being a child, and I was at a family function, and I went exploring inside the house that was not mine, and I saw a child that I've never seen before, and I was like, why is this child, why? I never knew about this child. Why is the child here? And they were like, oh, they don't let so and so come out. I'm like, why? Why are you treating this person like this?
Yes. I too can say I would have experienced something of that same nature in my younger years before I lost my sight. I was on the family island exploring and I went into this house. The house was rather quiet. It was the middle of the day. And family islands, they don't lock up their doors or so you could go in anybody's house at any time. And I went into the house and I'm walking through the house and I see a elderly gentleman. He's inside. He talked to me. I talked back to him. And then I realized he was blind. And not only was he blind, he had mobility issues. He could not get out of bed. So while I had to help him with a number of things. And so when I came out of the house, I never knew the gentleman was there. And his house was actually directly across the road from the house I was living in. And so
Wow.
went back and just talking on the streets with the other guys who were in my age, and I told them what I know, what I found out. They say, "Yeah, man, that's old. I forgot the name of you." He say, "Yeah, he's be right there, man. He's be right in his family. Don't check him. Nobody's knowing that. No, I'm glad you see him today." Say only one person is going to check on him, maybe once a week or something like that. And
Wow.
we know the family island have its challenges, but we in the commission have been doing our part. We've been to Abaco, Andras, Grand Bahama, Long Island, Exuma, Auckland, Crooked Island, and Long Key in search of persons with disabilities. And that helped us to increase our numbers in registration, but there's still a lot more to be done because we know just for Abaco alone, the time we spent in Abaco was not enough to register. And we have how many inhabited keys in Abaco alone?
Just gonna say, I was just
Also,
gonna say a lot of it.
So there's a lot more time that needed to be invested on those islands to do an even more in-depth search. And I'm sure we're going to come up we may not come up with the numbers we want, but I'm sure we're going to come up with more numbers that would help us on our quest.
Wonderful. So, speaking about time, we'd have to go to a break right now. So, I'm just going to let our producer cut it for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned in to the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndre. My guest today is Kendrick Roll with Abilities Unlimited. Stay tuned. Don't leave us. We will be right back.